Morning, everyone. Great to see the sun out, isn't it? I'd like to welcome you to Concord Church of Christ. For those of you who are visiting with us, it's fantastic that you're here today. Really appreciate you coming our way. If you have an opportunity to come back again, we'll be meeting tonight at 6 o'clock for services, then again on Wednesday at 7 o'clock. If you were not given a visitor card, please try to grab one maybe in a pew that's right in the back or in front of you, on the back of the one in front of you, something like that, in the little slot, or raise your hand up and one of the gentlemen back there will get you one. But we'd like to have a record of your attendance. And again, hopefully you'll be back next time you come this way. For members and our visitors, guests, be sure to pick up a bulletin. It's got important information in not only today's worship service, as well as some of our members with the sick and the needs of the congregation. So please grab a copy of one of those. Before Greg comes up and leads us in How Great is Our God, I'd like to turn to scripture here, Philippians chapter 4. Oh, that was good. There. Philippians chapter 4. Starting in verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Now that I speak in respect of want, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere, in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to be abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me. This is a time of year where we can get caught up in ourselves with the things we want. We need to be content. But the most important thing is we've got to be doing God's will. Being here this morning is what we're about in our worship service, to praise and glory to God. So let's start with singing. Greg?
How great is our God? We'll sing, there's two verses, will be on the slide. And after singing two verse song, we'll repeat the chorus at the end. So if you watch it, you see his slides, they show up. Let's all sing out.
He grabs himself.
Lord's Supper, which will be up here on the up on the slides. Mend and whole, we'll sing all three verses of this song. Let's all sing out.
Oh, how great our salvation in Jesus, that the prophets of old testified, even angels desire his revealing, praise and glory to Christ crucified, as when the first led to the
month, we're taking a look at five different things, these 5 weeks this month, that really we need to be considering every time that we remember what the Lord did for us during this memorial. We've looked at the death of Christ, and I think that's the thing that we think about the most when we gather around and partake of this memorial every single week. Last week, we talked about the forgiveness of sins, and this morning, I want to talk about the renewal of our faith. In the next 2 weeks, we'll talk about thanksgiving for that sacrifice that he made and the anticipation of his return. All things that we see throughout the scriptures in reference to Christ's death. But in talking about the renewal of our faith, when we partake of something on a regular basis like this, we can't help but renew the reasons why we're doing it. We think about it every single time we do it. And as believers, we confirm that we believe in Christ once again every time we come together to do this. If you think about it, if your faith was dead, would you even come here this morning and partake of this memorial? This memorial proclaims the gospel every single time that we come here to do it. As we remember his death, as we remember the sacrifice that he made. And I think most importantly, it's something we do together. It's something that we do as a group. Christ did it with his apostles. The church came together to do this. And this morning, we come together to do this. So there's a connection, not only between the faith that we have, the renewal of that, but the unity of our faith that we come together to do this. I want to look in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 in verse 16. If you would turn over there. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 16. Is not the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Christ? Since there is one bread, we who are of many are of one body, for we all partake of one bread. Let's bow as we give thanks for the bread. Dear God, we are truly thankful that we have life on this earth and that you gave us the hope of a life in heaven. And we're very thankful that you sent your Son here to this earth to die for our sins, so that we could have assurance of that hope of heaven with you. At this time, we are mindful of the body that was put upon the cross and died for our sins. As we partake of this bread, we pray that we can remember that very thing. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Please pray with me. Heavenly Father and King, we are thankful. We bow before an awesome God. We realize as we prepare our minds and our hearts to partake of this fruit of the vine, we recognize that when the blood of Jesus Christ comes into contact with our sins, that our sins are remembered no more and they are vanquished. They are no longer part of mere memory and they are no longer part of what holds us accountable to you. We're thankful for his sacrifice and his willingness to die, that his blood, innocent blood, might be shed for us. Help us all to never take it for granted and live our lives in such a way worthy of his sacrifice. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
remembrance of the Lord's Supper. At this time, we've also set aside time to give back to the Lord. If you're a visitor and you filled out a visitor card, this would also be the appropriate time to place that in the plate as it goes by. This time, Evan will lead us in prayer for the offering.
Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for this wonderful day that you've given us, and thank you for all the wonderful blessings we have received from you. Please help us today to give back to you with a cheerful and giving heart, and please help the elders and those who are in charge of the funds to be able to use them wisely and further spread your word. Thank you for everything you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen.
I need thee every hour. Number 837, your psalm books, if you want to look along. I need thee every hour. We'll sing all four verses of song, then we'll go to God in prayer. I need thee every hour.
Yeah.
Let's bow. Heavenly Father, we humbly come before your throne, thanking you, dear Lord, for this first day of the week, this day that you have designated to be the day that we've come together to worship you. We thank you, dear Lord, for creating this opportunity that we can come and worship you, praise you in songs, learn more of your word, give of our means. And as we just participated, dear Lord, in the memorial of your son's death, we know, dear Lord, that was the greatest and the last sacrifice that had to be made. It was your son to die upon the cross, the spilling of that blood that washed away our sins. And we know, dear Lord, that if we do what we have in your word, we will be with you in heaven one day when our time is gone here on this earth. We're so thankful, dear Lord, for this beautiful sunshine that we have today and that was followed by the rain that we had yesterday. We know you're in control of our seasons, of our weather, of the environment that's around us, that we have to be careful to take care of it and to look to you, because again, you are in control. You are all powerful. We thank you, dear Lord, for those attending here this morning. We know that not all can be here. We ask you to continue to bless Sandra and Dave as they recuperate in the hospitals now. And Dave being home, it's recuperating at home. Both coming through their surgeries, doing better now. But we know that we're mindful of those that are still suffering and dealing with their illnesses. Joel and Wes and others that we got to be mindful of, Ken, as they're getting better and stronger and looking to you to continue to heal them so they can be at 100%. Doing the work that they've done before and continuing on. We ask, dear Lord, to spiritually give us all strength and the courage, because we all need to be 100% there as well, to spread the borders of your kingdom, to teach others. We ask, dear Lord, to be with Adam this morning as he presents your word. Pray it's in a manner that can understand it, take it into our hearts from your word, and speak to others, our friends, our relatives, our co-workers, our students, our fellow students, everyone that's around us, be able to spread your word that about your son, that what he can do for us and do for them, and to be with you in heaven one day. We ask you, dear Lord, to be with us as we continue in this service to you. Pray that we continue to have our hearts, our minds, and more importantly, our love to you, that we can pour it out in this worship service. And in your son's name we pray. Amen.
If you will mark in your psalm books for the song we'll sing after the lesson, which will be Trust and Obey, song number 915, Trust and Obey, song after the lesson. If you will, let's stand as we sing this next song, which will be I Will Celebrate. Let's all sing out as we sing this song.
I will sing to him my
ask you to stand. In Nehemiah, the 8th chapter, in verse 5, when Ezra read the scriptures, all the people stood in reverence. Today's lesson is taken from the book of 1 Kings, chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. And the lesson is entitled, When the Brook Dries Up. And it reads, Now Elijah the Tishbite of Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, As the Lord the God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall be neither dew nor rain these years, except by my word. And the word of the Lord came to him, Depart from here and turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook of Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. You shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. And he went and did according to the word of the Lord, and went by the brook of Cherith, that is east of the Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And after a while the brook dried up, because there was no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came to him, Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you. Please be seated.
Good morning. It certainly is great to see you all, to be with you and to just have the privilege of being together and partaking of the Lord's Supper together. I appreciate that so much. If you're visiting with us, we're certainly thankful for you being here, and we'd ask for you to stay around a little bit and let us get to maybe know you a little bit better. But thank you for your encouragement to us of being here with us this morning. We certainly are sorrowful when we mourn with Kay Maynard and her family as she mourns the passing of her mother. I believe that the visitation is today, I think from 3 to 5, and then the funeral is tomorrow. So let's keep that family in our prayers as well. Has there been a time in your life when things were going well? That the path you were on, you knew that was the path you were supposed to be on. You had direction, you had focus, and life was just a joy to live. And then something happens. Some calamity, some unplanned circumstance, some massive obstacle comes into your life. And the path that you're on, you sort of begin to doubt. Begin to wonder, is this really where I need to be? It is in these times that our faith is tested. That the now uncertain path that we are on becomes the proving ground unto our Lord with our faith. We want to look this morning at Elijah and look at the idea of when the brook dries up. The kids in the Bible classes have been just studying about Elijah. So I thought it'd be good for us to look at this and see what we can learn from this part of the text where we have Elijah and look really at two questions. What are we to trust in, and when are we to trust? So as we begin, let's just look at this first question. What are we to trust in? Well, the context in which we find the text this morning, God uses Elijah. He says, you're going to be my prophet. He says, I want you to go to the nation of Israel, the 10 tribes of Israel, and go to King Ahab. And you tell him that there is not going to be any rain or dew for years until God, through Elijah, says it's going to rain. And immediately following that, God tells Elijah, you go, you hide yourself by the brook Cherith. And there I'm going to provide for you. What we see here is that God says he's going to provide. He provides protection for Elijah. as we look, if you go a little bit further, when you see the encounter with Elijah and Obadiah, we see that Ahab has put out this all points bulletin. He is searching for Elijah. This is the one man who is, by his word, is crippling his nation with this famine, with this lack of water. He cannot find him. So God hides him, I believe, from the harm of Ahab. God protects him from the pain of others. Elijah doesn't see the suffering of Israel as they wasted away from lack of food and water. It's possible that Elijah might have, you know, in seeing that suffering, he might have said, Lord, can you bring the rain earlier? I see their suffering. They need help. God seems to cover him over and hide him. God provides for his physical needs. God tells him, you shall drink of the brook, and the ravens shall provide for you. Don't overlook that miracle. Notice what God has done here. He has said, I am going to have these ravens bring you meat and bread. Not once a day, but in the mornings and in the evenings. All of the rest of the nation of Israel is suffering, and Elijah's needs are well met. Those provisions go on for a while. Possibly over a year. We don't know the exact time that he's there at the brook. But it looks like Elijah's on the right path. He lives despite so much suffering that is around him. He is continuing on this path. But what we also see is that God provides loss. While the bread and the meat were provided by a miracle, the water was given within the confines of nature. And it is allowed to run out. Seems as if his needs now are not being met. I mean, day by day, Elijah would have seen that brook dwindle and dwindle and dwindle. His path that seems so certain now might seem to be in jeopardy. Why the loss? I mean, why didn't God just say, okay, for the entire time that there is no rain, I'm going to keep you here. I'm going to protect you. Because I believe only in loss do we see the true dependence on God. It is really a test of the gift or of the giver. And we need to learn the difference between those two, to learn the difference between trusting in the gift and trusting in the one who's giving. You see, as long as we have the gifts and the gifts are good, it's easy to trust, isn't it? I mean, if my life is going great, if I have a great career, if my family is doing well, I'm in good health, oh, it's great to trust in God. It's great to say, wow, God has blessed me and it's so wonderful here. My faith isn't tested in that sense. But what happens when the gift changes? When the provisions turn to loss, what happens then to our faith? You see, if our faith begins to fail at this moment, then our trust was only in the gifts. Only in what God could do good for us. One man said it this way, unbelief sees God through circumstances. And the idea that he's saying there is, whatever happens to us colors how we view God. If things are going well, we think, wow, God has blessed me, God cares for me, he loves me. But sometimes we can see it then and say, well, okay, things are going terrible in my life now. What have I done to God? God, what's wrong here? Why are you doing this to me? God, you're just an unloving God. If we're putting our trust in the gifts. Job said in chapter 2 and verse 10, shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity? What I want us to see here is that Elijah trusted not in the gift, but he trusted in the giver. He trusted not in what he received, but in who God is. God is truth. He will, what he says, he will do. We see that echoed out in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 17 and 18. That he says, in the same way, God, desiring even more to show to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of his purpose, interposed with an oath. So that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us. He says there, what I say, I will do. God never lies. God is always true to his word. And so what we see then with Elijah is that he remembered, God told me to go here. God told me to go to this brook, and he said he was going to provide for me. And so I must trust in him. One man said, faith is not a sense, nor sight, nor reason, but a taking God at his word. And I like that. Do we truly take God at his word? You see, what are we to trust in as the question that we have asked? We are to trust then in his word. That no matter what that we believe that no matter what happens to us, no matter how dark our path may seem, he is there and he will take care of us. You see, true faith is looking at God not through the circumstances, but putting God in between us and the circumstances. That we see life, our life is colored by God himself, not the other way around, not that the circumstances color how we view God. Think about the way that Paul and Silas viewed life as they're there in that Philippian jail. You know, they could have said, this is the worst thing that's happened to us. I mean, we are in the dungeon of dungeons. And yet we find them singing praises. Why? Because their view of God colored their circumstances. Their true faith was in God, not in what was happening to them. And the same is true for us. We can trust to know God is working for us because his word is true. James says in James chapter 1 and verse 17, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. God is the same. He's not going to change. He can't change. That would go against his very nature. And so Paul then records for us in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. God says, I am working for you. So take faith in that. Well, let's look then to the next question that we want to ask, and that is, when are we to trust? And to answer this question, I want us to look at the very moment that God provided for Elijah. Because we see that day after day, Elijah waited and watched. Can you put yourself in Elijah's position? I mean, he's been there for a while. And he starts to see this brook shrink. Maybe it starts to shrink, and now it becomes just a little, not a stream, just a little thread of water. And then that stops, and there's just like pools here and here and here in this brook. And then there's no more water. The birds maybe that might have been coming to that brook are now have left. They're not getting water there anymore. The animals of the field, they're not there anymore. He waited for the Lord to provide. And only when nothing was left did the Lord come to his aid. Notice what it says there in 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 8 and 9. Verse 7 says the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. Verse 8, then the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and stay there. Behold, I have commanded a widow to provide for you. Here we see not before the water was gone, but when the water was gone, then God provided for Elijah. He patiently and unwaveringly trusted from the very moment that he was told to go to Cherith to the moment that the brook dried up. What's that answer then to that question? When are we to trust? We're to trust like Elijah. We're to trust God always. In every moment of our life. But here comes the challenge. Do we trust always? You know, I think that many of us, probably myself being the very first one, would have gotten anxious and started planning long before that water dried up. I would have then started thinking, okay, wait a minute, this water is about to go. I need to do something. I need to figure this out. Our songs of praise and thanksgiving for God's provisions would have ceased, even though there's still water there. And they would have been replaced by maybe pacing back and forth on this withered grass as we're trying to figure out what to do. That maybe even before the brook dried up, we might have determined some plan in our mind and now been praying to God. Okay, God, this is what I want to do. Is this right? Would you please bless this plan? You see, so many times the problem is our worry, which is a lack of faith. George Mueller says it this way: the beginning of anxiety is the end of faith. And the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. We worry about a lot of things. And what all those who do statistics and stuff, what they tell us is we worry about everything that we can't do anything about. We don't have control over the things that we worry about. So when you think about it that way, you sort of scratch your head and say, well, why do we worry about it? I can't do anything about it. That's just how we are sometimes. But that shows a lack of faith. Because when I begin to worry, when I begin to wonder, okay, how is this going to work out, God? I need to have my plan. What is it that I need to do? See, in anxiety, we aren't allowing God to be God. We're not letting Him do the work, but we're trying to do it ourselves. And so many times it just seems maybe unsafe for us to sort of just stand still. To sort of just stand there and do nothing but trust in the Lord. That seems almost like, well, what am I doing? And God says, you know, that's exactly what I want you to do sometimes. There's that great temptation for us to sort of take the battle into our own hands and do what we can. Turn with me to Psalm 37. And in verse 5, over the years I have come to maybe understand this more and more. The psalmist writes, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. That word commit actually means to roll upon. And so what he's saying there is, the psalmist is saying, roll your burden, roll your way upon the Lord. Almost sort of think of it as, maybe you've got a wheelbarrow full of dirt, and you've got that. That's sort of like your burden, that's your way. And he's saying, dump that onto me. Then trust me, and I will bring it to pass. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, that's hard to do sometimes. Because you know what? For me, I'll go to my God in prayer. And I'll say, God, this is what I'm dealing with. This is all of what I'm worrying about. Please help me. You know what I do sometimes? I get back up from prayer and go, okay, now I need to figure out how I'm going to do this. I haven't rolled my way onto him. I've sort of said, well, here it is, but I've picked it back up on myself. That's not what the psalmist says. He says, give it to the Lord. Think about how impossible it is. I haven't had to do this. But think about someone who's trying to rescue someone who's drowning. And from what I understand, those who try and teach lifeguarding and all that, they say when you've got a victim or someone who's drowning and they're flailing, sometimes you have to get a little rough with them. You have to sort of knock them out sometimes if they're going crazy like this so you can grab them and bring them to safety. Sometimes we're like that with God. We're flailing around. We don't know what's going on, but we're saying, well, I got to do something. And God says, stop. Be still. Let me work. We must remember that God said he would provide. Which takes us back to the very first point, that we've got to trust in his word. How then are we to trust God always? I submit to you that we need to remember where we are. I saw this quote a few months ago, and this has just meant quite a bit to me. It says, the eagle that soars in the upper air does not worry itself as to how it is to cross rivers. Now think about that. Do you ever see an eagle sitting there and there's this 50-foot river right in front of him and he's just sitting there, wow, I don't know how I'm going to get across that. No. Why? Because he's way up in the air. He's looking down on it going, wow, that's a really small river. What's the point for us? We need to remember where we are. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 6 and 7. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. There, speaking of God, it says, and he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Notice where he says we are, if we are his children. He says he has put us in the heavenly places. Now, somebody tell me, is that low or is that high? It's high, isn't it? We're not down here on the ground looking at that river going, how am I going to cross it? God says, I have raised you up with the eagles. I've raised you to be with my son, to be in the spiritual places. Now think about what that does for us when we see things in that perspective. It should change our perspective. That the great calamity, the huge obstacle that is in our path should no longer seem so overwhelming because we are trusting in God. We are letting him work within our life. And we have that constant faith that says he will do what he says. How simple and in one sense maybe even trivial was God's answer to Elijah's problem of life or death. Water's gone. If he stays there, he's going to die. What does he say? Go to Zarephath. I have a widow who's going to take care of you. Simple. And God says, let me take control. Let me take care of you. You know, there have been times in my life where I have failed to see my widow of Zarephath because I'm trying to take control. Because I'm not trusting in God like I should. I'm not holding to His word because I'm trying to do it myself. But the example that we have with Elijah is that he trusted completely in God. Our path is not always going to be roses. There are going to be times when our brook dries up. And it's going to seem like our direction is unknown and our way is blocked. The question for each one of us is, what are we going to do with that? That's not the time to lose focus. That's not the time to say, God, where are you? Should I just give up on you? That's the time to strengthen our faith. To not give in to anxiety, but to allow God to work His plan in His time. Do you soar with the eagles of the upper air? I hope that you do. Are you seated with the King in the heavenly places? That's what God offers to all of His children. He says, you can be with me. That's what He desires and that's what He offers to us. Christ traveled your darkest path with the greatest obstacles so that you wouldn't have to. And while maybe our brooks appear uncertain, while our brooks may appear dried up, God says, I know your way. And if you will but trust me, I have a widow of Zarephath waiting for you. If you're not a child of God this morning, God is saying, I have so much I want to give to you. But would you be willing to trust me and submit to me in baptism? That's what He is offering to each and every one of us. This morning, maybe it is that your life, you are a child of God, but you've trusted in yourself. Maybe you have your own brook that's drying up, and you need to come back and trust in Him. If we can help you in any way this morning, God's call is open. Please come while we stand and sing.
We'd like to thank our visitors for being here again this morning. This afternoon at 5 o'clock, there's going to be a deacons and elders meeting. I'd like to add one more announcement to Adam's announcement this morning about Kay Maynard's mother. As you know, she passed away Thursday. The funeral will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock at Midway Methodist. So if you have a chance to attend that, that would be a good thing. Dave and Marlene asked me to announce that there is a sign-up sheet for meals for Sandra Watkins. So if you haven't had a chance to serve our sister and her family, if you would see them and sign up for that sheet for the meals, that would be a good thing also. Sandra is doing better. She's in room 3409 at Northeast, and she's in a regular room now, not intensive care. Also, Tommy asked me to announce that Haley Hampstead is home sick, so that's where Hess is with her. If there's no other announcements, we'll be dismissed in a closing prayer.
Let us pray. Lord, thank you for allowing us to worship and assemble in your name. Please continue to pray for those sick and shut-ins and those who have lost loved ones. May their burdens be light. Forgive us our sins and transgressions and strengthen us so we can continue to resist the devil and trust in God. Finally, allow us to live with you in heaven when we pass away. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.